at some hindrances to zeal today. You know, we could say discouragement. We could say that we just don't have the drive that we had and all that. But the word I'm going to use today is zeal. We just don't have the zeal like we used to have. Do you remember years ago when you had that zeal for the Lord? When you were ready to do this and do that, do whatever you could do in the kingdom of God to try to accomplish those things that need to be accomplished, and you were volunteering even for things. That needs to be. We always need to do that. And have that about us. And never let it grow old in us. Sometimes when you get older, you get slower. It takes you longer to do things. But let me tell you something. Don't let your zeal for the Lord ever stop. Does anybody know how old Moses was when God called him to bring the children of Israel out of the land? He was what? He was as old as Hugo. Whoa, man, I didn't know he was that old. Oh, I didn't know he was as old as Hugo. He called him at 80 years old to accomplish his will. Hugo's going to have an 80th birthday in a few weeks, and so that's what we were talking about really in that. But he is 80. But could you imagine starting your work really for God and doing the greatest things when you were 80 years old? A lot of times when we get older, man, we just want to sit down and take it easy. And I've heard, I don't know how many times I've heard people at church say, we need to let the young people do that. Let me tell you something. Don't do that. Don't even say that. You be the leader and you lead until they lay out. And you don't quit. You keep on doing the will of God. You keep on having a zeal about you, because young people need to see older people with zeal. They need to see young, old people that are able to do things and able to accomplish things, because that's what we've got to do. Now, Moses brought the children of Israel out. They received the law at Sinai, and just after they received that law, they were told, go take the land. They were told to go get this land that God was going to give to them. Now let me tell you something. We misunderstand the gifts of God. We think God's gifts are just laid out there for us, and all we've got to do is just pick it up and that's it. No, God has something for us to do more than just a little bit. It's a whole lot. You see, we've got to exhibit faith. And we've got to exhibit a trust in God. We've got to exhibit a zeal for God, that we're people, that we're so committed to God, that we're going to keep on doing this. The children of Israel, they're ready to go into the promised land. They have the opportunity to be able to have the greatest land in the whole world. And God's going to give it to them. They sent out 12 spies. Those 12 spies went out. They looked at that land and they came back with their report. You know the report there. Does anybody know the two guys that came back with a good report? What's their names? Okay, let me tell you something. I got $20 in my pocket for anybody can name the 10 that came back with a bad report. Anybody want to take that 20? Why not? They were failures. They lost their zeal. They lost their courage. They lost their God. Now we know the ones that said we can take that land. Joshua and Caleb, they said we can do that. The people were so animate about this that we can't take that land, that they even, if you read chapters 13 and 14 of Numbers, you'll see there they were ready to stone Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. They were ready to stone them. Why? They saying we can take this land. We have the power to do that. Joshua, Caleb was so upset about this that he just took his coat and just tore that thing, man. He was so mad. It's either that or grab one of those fellas and throw him to the ground. That's my part. I threw that part in. He was so upset. How could you do that? How can you back off from that? Here you have God. Look what God's done for you. Look how God's helped you. Look what He's done. You were down in Egypt. You were whining and crying down there. Oh, we're in bondage. They're treating us bad. We got to make our own bricks. We got to get our own hay. We got to get our own mud. We got to do this, and we're not getting enough food and all these things, and it's so terrible and awful, and look what how hard it is. And they go to God, get us out of this place. What's God do? 10 plagues. To show, not just to the Egyptians, they needed to see that lesson too. God has lessons for the world, but God has lessons also for His people. His people are the ones that need the zeal. His people are the ones that need the dedication to go and to do God's will, to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. We need that. Do you know, if Christians stood up as Christians, we could change this whole country? Our problem is, we as Christians don't have the zeal to do it. We don't have the zeal like the world does. We don't have the zeal like Satan does. And why not? We've got all the encouragements here. We've got all of God's encouragements within His Word that we need to be willing to follow, that we need to be willing to do His will. We need that. We need it more than anything else. Now, look at this, if you would. We need to understand that these people had forgotten their God. They forgot how strong He was. They forgot the power that He had. They looked at the enemies and said, they're stronger, not than us. Now that's basically what's said in the text, but you know what the truth is? They said those enemies, those people there, those people that were giants, those people that were warlike people, those people that had cities that had great walls around them, those people that were just outnumbered the children of Israel, those people, no. They're stronger than our God. Because God was with them. God had given them the courage there. They looked at the walls. They looked at the people. They looked at how great they were, and they forgot about how great God was and what God could do in their lives. Let me tell you something. It would shock us to know what God could do with your life right now. What you could accomplish. And see, that's a part of the problem. We don't have the zeal to recognize that God's there. And we think it's all on us. Let me tell you something. It's always been on God. It's always been by the power of God. You're saved not because of what you do, but because of the power of God. That's what saves you. We can only have salvation because of what God done for us. John 3 and verse 16, He sent His Son to die on a cross for us when we didn't deserve it. He gives us salvation. You don't earn it. It's a gift that is given by the Heavenly Father to every one of us. We have all that. But these people, they saw how big the enemy was. They saw how large the walls were. And they didn't have enough courage to say, listen, God can do it. Joshua and Caleb said that they could do it. They said, let us go up right now. Well, let's think of it. Sometimes we spend too much time thinking. And usually that thinking is stinking. It's not doing us any good. What we need to do is say, this is what we need to do. Don't add up. Don't count what it is. Realize where God is and go get it done. But we want to talk about it. We want to have a business meeting. We want to discuss it. Forget that. If it's God's will, go and get it done. Do it. Amen. Y'all, if you miss that, and I'll get that myself, you know. That was a good point. We need that. These people needed to hear that. These people were afraid. Now, let me ask you something. What do we do when we see all the false teachers in this world? All the people that are not teaching God's will. Oh, man. There's just no way we can overcome them. There are just so many of them. And it's so discouraging. We look out at the religious people in the world, and they're so big, greater than we are right now. We look at the Muslim religion. Do you think Christianity can overcome the Muslim religion? Yes. We look out and we see big buildings. We see a lot of people. We see all those things. And we think, oh, we can't do that. Look at where we are. I've even had people say, well, you know, we teach the truth and they don't teach the truth. Well, I don't know sometimes if we teach the truth like we should and live like we live and have the zeal that we really don't have. I don't know how much of this we believe. We look and we see, you know, our government is getting away from Christianity, it seems. It's pulling back just a little bit because of the world religions. And we think, what are we going to do? The government's going to go. They're going to oppose Christianity. What are we going to do? Let me tell you something, what we're going to do. We're going to keep being Christians. We're going to keep doing God's will no matter what. And we're not going to stop. I've already read the book. I hope you've read it. At the end it says there's going to be a battle and you're going to win. Now, I'm not telling you we're not going to have to suffer. I'm not telling you it's not going to have to be pain. I'm not telling you that we're not going to have to work our fingers to the bone. Let me tell you something. We're going to have to do all those things. Every one of them. Being a child of God is not for wimps. If you're a wimp, go back into the world. But if you're a person that's zealous for God and you want to do God's will, then become a part of His church and become active in it. Do more than hold a pew down. Use yourself in the kingdom of God. That's what we've got to do. We've got to be willing to use ourselves there. We look at the number in the world. I mean, you know, you look at how many people are born. I should have looked this up. How many people are born every day, every hour? It's astounding. And we've got to go teach all those people the gospel. We've got to do that. How can we do it? And you know what we say? We don't say it, but this is what we believe. It can't be done. Let me tell you something. If God gives you a job to do, He gives you power enough to do it. He gives you strength enough to do it. He gives you zeal enough to do it. And if we don't do it, we're backing off from what God wants us to do. We're backing off from God's will. We're backing off. We've got to realize how powerful God is. Romans 1 and verse 16. He is His gospel is the moving force of the world. It's God's power to change the world and to change people and to change us. The more we know about God's Word, the more zeal we're going to have, the more dedication we're going to have, and the more we're going to enjoy the Christianity that we have. That's going to help us. Listen, Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, the God's Word is compared there like a fire. I get the picture of a fire. It's like a forest fire. Some of those they have out in California that burn for weeks and weeks and weeks. The ones that are fed by the Santa Ana winds, and you just see them, and they just go through houses and trees and all that, and you think, whoa, how terrible it'd be to be in that. God's Word is stronger than that. It's like a hammer. It has the power to crush the devil. It has the power to put him in his coffin and nail the lid shut. It's that powerful. It's that strong. Listen to Hebrews 4 and verse 12 and 13. The Word of God is living and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's greater than any sword. How great is it? Well, it can go down and cut the skin and cut the bone and go into the marrow of the bone, and it can go so far as the spirit to the soul of man. It has the power to do that. If we will allow it to do that, it will give us a dedication. It will give us it'll give us a zeal that nobody can stop. And that's what we've got to have. We've got to have that kind of zeal. This is the Word of God. It goes down to the intents of the heart, the Hebrew writer says. That's how powerful it is. We need to remember that. We need to remember what God's done. But we need to remember also that God is the King. He is over all. He has the power over all. And He is with us. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, it says, I want you to go into all the world. And then He says, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Listen, this is the last age, so you can say he's going to be with us till the day of judgment. That's it. He's going to be with us. He's there with us. Now, listen at this. Listen at Matthew 13, or Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm going to be with you. So why are we worried? Why are we afraid? Why does our zeal become weak and not strong? Why does our zeal not become like it needs to be? Now look at this. What are the hindrances that we have in our zeal? What causes our zeal not to be as great as it needs to be? Now, look at this. The first thing, our zeal, it needs to be great. It needs to be wonderful. But what hinders it is we have a fear. We have a greater fear of men than of God. We have a greater fear of what man can do to us than we do in what God can do to us. And we need to realize how strong and powerful God is. Israel had forgot that. I've already mentioned, they saw the 10 plagues. Not only that, they saw a whole bunch of those Egyptians floating in the water when they had walked through on the other side on dry land. They saw that. And now they get over here and they're standing on the banks of the Jordan and they're looking over there to the promised land, the land that God has given them. 10 of those guys are saying, we can't do it. 2 are saying, we can do it. Who are they going to listen to? What's a democracy? You go with the greatest numbers. No, you go with the greatest God. You go with a God that's greater than anybody. You go with a God that's greater than anybody, anywhere, at any time. You overcome your fears. You learn to trust in God. It's called faith. You believe God. Even though you can't see it, even though it looks too big and it looks too great, you still believe it so much that you're willing to put your life on the line for it because it's God's will. It's what God wants you to do. It's what God's trying to get you to accomplish there. What do we need today? We need people today that have a faith and a trust in God. We need parents that trust in God. They trust in God enough that they are encouraging their children to be at church. I don't care how old they are. I don't care if they're not in your home. Now, you can't command them to be here, but you can encourage them to do that. And we need to do that. Because if we don't, we really don't believe what God says in His Word. And we can come to every service we want to, but we're screaming out we really don't believe it. Let's talk to them. We need children that are willing to decide that they're going to serve God and they're going to do God's will. They're going to be a child of God. And in the world we live in today, listen, it ain't easy to be a Christian. It ain't easy to follow God. And I know what I'm saying and I know how I'm saying it. I want you to remember it. It's not easy to be a child of God. But we need to be that. We need to be a person that we trust in God with everything we have. We trust in God's will no matter what's going to happen to us. I can remember over the years seeing mothers bring their children to church and sat out on a row. I'm thinking about a lady right now. She brought her kids and sat on about the third row back. Had a whole bunch of them. Looked like these ducks, you know, mama duck and a little baby ducks following them. Of course, she was behind them saying, get in there. I'm joking about that, but well, maybe some. But they came in and they sat there. Lived long enough to see some of those people as elders and deacons and preachers' wives and elders' wives and deacons' wives and Bible school teachers within the church. Why? Because a mama by herself brought them. Now, that's a shame for us fathers. Just a big shame. I've even seen men that brought their children because their wives didn't come to church too. It works both ways. But we need that. We need to have that. It's not easy to get up and get kids ready to come to church. It's not easy to get kids ready and you get one ready and you got this one ready and this one goes in a bathroom and takes a bath in the commode while you're doing it. or you're putting their clothes on and they're taking them off over here. I mean, it's not easy to do. And some days, mamas, don't raise your hand. Some days you're saying, is it really worth it? Yes, it is. It's worth it when you get old and gray and you're trying to walk down the aisle and you can't do it real well. And your son or your daughter comes up and helps you to get down the aisle because they're there. They're faithful to God. Let me tell you something. When you get there, you're going to say, man, it was worth it. It was so worth it. It was such a wonderful thing to see that. When you see your children as they're active in the church and as they're doing things in the church. When you see those children as they're willing to follow God's will. We need to get rid of fear. We need to get that out of us. Do not be afraid of those that have the power to kill the body. But you fear those that have the power to kill the body and then to take the soul and cast it into hell. That's the one you need to fear. We need people of courage. We need elders that have courage to stand up for what's right, to do what's right, to know what's right, to learn more, to be greater in the kingdom of God. We need preachers that are willing to preach and tell people not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And teach and live the truth. We need deacons doing it. We need their families doing it. We need their whole families following God. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verses 13 and 14, Solomon had tried everything in the world. And he said, listen, this is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is everything a man's supposed to do. That's all of it. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how much you retire with. I don't care how much you got in the bank. It's not worth much if you see your children unfaithful. It's not worth much if you see the church that you've been a part of for 30 or 40 years going down and down and down and nobody knows what to do. That's a terrible thing. We need to have a fear about us that we're going to do what God's will is. Now, look at this. Secondly, we need to forget all these other things and we need to remember what God's done for us. We need to remember the blessings of the past. Now look at these people here. They could look back and they could see what God had done for them. He had clothed them. He had fed them. He had brought them out of that land that they couldn't get out by themselves. They had to have help to do it. They called on God and God was there to help them. Well, when God calls on them to live faithful, where are they at? Oh, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back down there into Egypt. We want to go back to those things that are down there. We don't want to be a part of this. They forgot the blessings. They forgot the source of all the blessings that they had in the life. They forgot who God was, and their zeal for God had become dull. It was not even almost existent in them. Their zeal to follow God's will had fallen along the wayside in the wilderness. If they even had it when they started. How many times do we take all that God has given to us? All the blessings that God has blessed us with. And we don't even realize where it's from. Do you know, there were some people that had to have zeal to build this building. We look back now and we say, well, you know, this building, I think, and I may be wrong, so don't hold me to it. This building was $80,000. That doesn't sound like a whole lot of money, does it? Some of you got houses that are three times worth that. I mean, but let me tell you something. You go back then and see how much it is. You go back then. They had zeal enough to trust in God. They had zeal enough to depend upon God. Here, we got a Bible here. Do you realize that this Bible is covered in blood? The blood of those people of the past that they worked so hard so that we could have it. Every person could have the Bible. I've met people that put their life on the line to get the Bible into foreign countries. Heard a fellow at East European Mission. He said, I forgot what it was. I think he said, you can put 14 Bibles behind the door panel in some car that they had. He knew how many you could put in there because he put them in there to sneak them in there. Other people, to get this word where we are today, they have had to have a zeal, they have had to have a courage, they have had to have dedication to be able to do that, to be able to accomplish that. And we sit here and we've got it. We're blessed with it. We may be like those people that God talked, that Jesus talked about in the Bible. That Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment is going to look at us and say, what in the world did you do? You had it all. You had it made. You had everything. But look what you did with it. You didn't recognize it. You didn't follow it. You didn't trust in it. We've got teachers that teach our Bible class. They have worked, some of them, for years to be able to prepare their lessons, to get their lessons up. It may be that they can walk into a class and do it without even preparation now. Yeah. But they got to have a zeal for that, a dedication for that. Now, Amy's not here this morning, so I can talk about her. Y'all don't tell her I'm talking about her, okay? Amy gets these teachers' material up back here in the back. And you think that's easy, ask her to let you help her. Sometimes teachers don't put it back where it's supposed to be. Sometimes they don't even bring it back. She's got to go get it and put it together. And we could go on and on and on. Marie and the correspondence courses and Joyce and others. Melvis and them, the jail and all those things. Let me tell you something. You can become discouraged, can't you? Yes. But let me tell you something, you be encouraged. Your job is to teach God's Word and to help people to find out what God's Word is. And you do that with everything you have. We've got to be willing to do it. We've got to be willing to use ourselves. The source of all this is the zeal that God has placed within us. He gave His only Son to die on the cross for us so that we could do this and have all this. And we're not going to get excited about it? Shame on us. Or maybe the word is condemnation for us because we don't recognize how great it is. We can take a sermon and hear it, but it goes away very fast. It goes away so fast from our heart and from our life. All right, look at this. We've got to be the people that recognize that our zeal can be hindered in such a way that we will not serve God. Sometimes we remember the conditions of where we had been. We think about that. You may be sitting here today saying, you know, I can remember the time when I could sleep late on Sunday morning. I can remember the time where I didn't worry about all these things that I have to worry about now. I can remember that time. And I can remember how I didn't do that. Yeah, listen to what the children of Israel said. They just spoke it. They weren't smart enough to know to hide it like us. They just spoke it. Listen to what they said. We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt. We had all the fish we wanted to eat. Well, they had to go catch them. They had to bring them in. They had to do all that stuff. Yeah, and then it said, we remember those things. We remember the cucumbers. We remember the melons. We remember the leeks. We even remember the onions back there. Do you know eating onions is a biblical thing? There's a passage. Some of you are not going to believe that one. I don't know what's pushing it. We remember the garlic. They look back at the past and remember that. You remember the good old days? Well, Gene and I were talking about the good old days. Let me tell you something. We look at it and we see that and we think that's good. Do you want to go back to no electricity and you got to build a fire in the stove in the morning to cook your breakfast? Do you want to go back to the time where you didn't have a car, you walked where you went, and you walked on a farm, you had food maybe, but you didn't have any money? You want to go back to that? You want to go back to you go to the doctor, and this doctor has been to medical school, and he looks at you, and you got cancer, and he said, you're going to die. That's it. Look at all we got today. You can have cancer, and they can heal it. Isn't that right? They can do it. Now, Not all the time. But they can do it a lot. They can take your heart out. As Louis Grizzard said, they can take that sucker out and step on it and put it back together and put it back in you and let it work. Look at all we've got. Look at how the Lord has blessed us. All the things He's done. Here's the children of Israel standing on the bank looking over the other side, and they said, man, I know it's big. We can't do that. We can't accomplish that. We can't make that. Yes, you can. We can accomplish those things. Now, we need to understand, we don't need to forget what's happened in the past. We need to remember the bondage we were in. And I mentioned already, you know, you could sleep late on Sunday morning. You could go out and drink and dance and do whatever you wanted to, and nobody said anything because everybody else you thought was doing it. You can listen to your parents say you need to go to church. I'm going to sleep late no matter what. You can do that. And you can remember how good it was back then. But let me ask you something. Do you remember back then how you felt guilty for some of those things you did? How your conscience troubled you because maybe your mama set you down and talked to you and told you, you don't need to be doing that, young lady. You don't need to be doing that, young man. You remember that? And how the in the back of your mind, you really, really felt guilty. Because you knew they were right. The time when you responded to the invitation and the preacher said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you said, yes, I do. I really do. I want to be a Christian. You remember how you felt then? You were washed, you were clean. Now, mark in your Bible this passage, and I'm going to read it to you because I think it's an important passage for us to remember. Some people might think it's a discouraging passage, but it's not. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Listen at this. If you've got your Bible, turn there. Put a marker there so you can mark it in red after this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, not thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, now, see, people go, oh, no. How discouraging. But look at this. Look at the encouragement here. And such were some of you. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. You've been made right before God. That's what God has done for you. And you have this because of what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. You have this. Today, there is not a reason under God's blue skies or whatever it is that we should go out of here with any sin on us at all. Because God will forgive you of every sin you have committed. And if we go out of here today, it's not because of God. It's because of our lack of zeal toward God. Our lack of dedication or whatever words you want to use. God has always done people right. And He always will. But He leaves it in your hands. He gives you the opportunity to say, I want it or I don't want it. You have that right. You have the right to go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. You got the right to go to hell if you want to, too. That's your decision. But let me tell you something. It's not because God hadn't done on His part. It's not God hadn't shown His zeal for you, His love for you, and His care for you. He's done it. If you're a Christian, He'll forgive you again of your sins. Please don't sit there and think, as a Christian, I don't need to respond. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. I'm a preacher. Let me tell you something. If you got sin in your life, you get rid of it. No matter what. And don't be ashamed to do that. Be ashamed if you don't have the courage and the zeal enough to respond to God's invitation. If you're not a Christian, God will forgive you. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will make you right. If you're willing to listen to what He has to say, believe what He has to say, confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in water to have the remission of those sins, and then live that. Live like you say, I want to give myself to God. Do that. We sing this invitation song to encourage all of us to look at our lives, to look at our souls,